Thank you for listening to this special presentation of Weird News from Odyssey's Something Offbeat. In this Independence Day weekend episode, we're focused on America, American history, and the nation's 250th anniversary. We're headed to the home of Edgar Allan Poe. And after that, we're walking through the halls of old churches to ask if they'll stay standing or make way for something new. We're also going to hear about U.S. comedy legends, before ending the show hearing about how the rest of the world has learned to love our very own ranch dressing, as well as how to make a potato chip that tastes like 250 years of U.S. history, and more. While Fort Wayne was becoming part of Detroit in the 1800s, famed author of the macabre Edgar Allan Poe was writing about nature near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Poe, who authored scary stories like The Telltale Heart, lived in that city. Here's Odyssey's KYW News Radio in Philadelphia with more.
Philadelphia helped shape one of America's darkest and most mysterious literary minds. In the 6 years that he lived in Philly, Edgar Allan Poe penned several works, including The Telltale Heart. He found solace in Wissahickon Creek. In 1844, Poe wrote, quote, "The Wissahickon is of so remarkable a loveliness that were it flowing in England, it would be the theme of every bard and the common topic of every tongue." The National Park Service says Poe was most productive from 1838 to 1844 when he lived in Philadelphia. Poe's Spring Garden Row House on North 7th Street has been closed to the public in recent years. The site has no confirmed reopening date.
The oldest structures still standing in the U.S. are located in New Mexico, according to Architectural Digest. These buildings are in a city that was built by the Puebloan people between 1000 and 1450 AD. Now that the United States has reached its 250th birthday, a lot of other structures in the country are getting up there in age. Places that once maybe seemed commonplace or even modern are now antique, and they face uncertain futures. Jordana Green of Odyssey Station WCCO News Talk recently explored a situation like this in Minnesota.
Across Minnesota, rural Minnesota specifically, there is a wave of Catholic Church consolidations. Okay, there's a shortage of priests, they're having financial struggles. The St. Cloud Diocese recently announced the most dramatic reduction of parishes in the state history, and others like Winona, Rochester, Duluth are following suit. There's a big piece in the Star Tribune today about this. So, small town parishioners are waging battles against church leadership because they don't want their buildings being bulldozed. And who can blame them? You know, some of these churches are from the 1930s. You know, in Wilson Township, the locals are appealing to the Vatican to save a 1930s Immaculate Conception church, even offering to buy it via a nonprofit and use it as a community center. Church officials claim demolition is often recommended by local communities because who's going to take care of them? They're maintenance costs. It can't just fall apart. You have to preserve the church. Look at those beautiful stained glass windows. But who's going to do that if there is no money? So what happens in these rural towns, and what should happen to these century-old buildings that have been the center of gravity for so many of these rural communities? You know, it's where your grandma was baptized or married or buried, for God's sakes. So what do we do with 60% of Catholic dioceses across the country are going through these consolidations? Is it ever okay to say to the church, we're going to take it down. We're going to, you know, we have to demolish it, or we're going to turn it into a center for the community? What do you think?
I think we need to draw a distinction between saving historic buildings and places of worship being sacred, holy places, because I think there is good arguments on both sides for, like, what buildings should we save? There are hundreds and thousands of millions of old buildings in the world, and some of them are inefficient and not useful and should get torn down. And many of them are historic and worth saving and repurposing. And that is a good discussion that we should all engage in and figure out, like, which ones need to get saved and which ones need to get bulldozed. That's fine.
And one man who called into WCCO provided a more European perspective.
Jeff is in St. Paul. Jump in here, Jeff. What do you think? What should we do with them?
Well, considering that I was married in a church in the UK that was over 1,000 years old when I was married, and still going, but there's all kinds of churches in the UK that are like 500, 600, 700 years old, and there's just no more congregation to support them. And so very often they are sold off and repurposed, magnificent old stone buildings. Mm-hmm. You know, the glass, you know, if there's stained glass, sorry about that.
That's okay.
There's all kinds of, you know, there's like, there'll be
stained
a museum
glass
building,
windows.
Like a, there's stained glass windows, mm-hmm. something like that. But I really don't think we should, I really don't think we should be making ground holy like that, because okay. that seems to cause a lot of problems in the world.
Okay, that's fair.
When some of those Minnesota churches were being built in the 1930s, an American Comedy Act was making film after film of vaudeville-style pratfalls and other gags that would make them enduring comedy legends. Even today, more than 100 years after the Three Stooges first got together, they're still a household name. KYW News Radio in Philadelphia included the Three Stooges in its ongoing special profile series for America's 250th anniversary.
That unmistakable salutation is the greeting visitors get when they walk into the Stoogeum. The three-story, 10,000-square-foot shrine to the Three Stooges opened in Ambler in 2004. Two members were from Philly.
There are about 10,000 items on display.
Michelle Squisamara is the museum's director.
Kids really seem to love this particular game. It's a 1984 Milestar arcade game.
Hey, watch out!
One of the original Stooges, Larry Fine, was born in Queen Village. His great-grandnephew-in-law is the Stoogeum's founder. Another Philadelphia native, Curly Joe Derita, joined the Stooges for their later years.
Whenever you see, like, three dudes acting like idiots anywhere, you're like, oh, those Three Stooges. It's here, there, and everywhere.
As Americans mark our 250th anniversary, North America itself has been visited by people all over the world. Some have likened the World Cup 2026 to a big slumber party from sea to shining sea. And social media has been filled with accounts of visitors being delighted and sometimes confused about what they find here. Ranch dressing, a creamy, herby sauce that was reportedly invented by an American plumber turned chef, is solidly in that first category. Here's Odyssey Station KCBS Radio in San Francisco with the details.
Who hasn't tried to stuff their carry-on luggage with some cool international food souvenir? You know, things like French butter or Spanish ham. But the TSA is warning World Cup visitors to check all those bottles of ranch dressing. Yes, it turns out ranch dressing is the surprising must-have of the World Cup. Here's KCBS's Holly Kwan.
Every culture has some kind of yogurt or mayo-based condiment, so maybe ranch is just a bigger part of American gastronomy than we thought. Guerneville chef Krista Ludeke loves watching international visitors trying out our American barbecue.
The Kansas City butts, you've got the Texas brisket. I think it's just tasting a piece of our country.
So what should they try in California?
I mean, beautiful fresh seafood, raw oysters, you know, the things that we have right here at our coast. If anyone starts putting ranch on a raw oyster, we're going to have some problems.
Okay, so ranch on oysters, that might be frowned upon. But ranch on pizza, that's a beloved combo for many Americans. There's also, of course, ranch on salad and cool ranch Doritos. That one leads me to our next dispatch. KYW has the potato chip report.
So what's the country's 250th anniversary taste like? Why, loaded cheese fries, hickory barbecue, and jalapeno cream cheese, of course. Those are the three winning potato chip flavors in the HERS Flavored by Philly competition. A company based in Chester County says nearly 100,000 votes were cast. These chips are available all summer. Not sure the founding fathers had this in mind when writing the Declaration, but hers says the freedom-loaded cheese fries flavor is inspired by the bold and enduring vision of American independence.
Thank you so much for listening to this Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to Own the Road with Kelly and Bob out of KRLD 1080 in Dallas, WWJ News Radio in Detroit, KYW News Radio in Philadelphia, Jordana Green of WCCO News Talk in the Twin Cities, and KCBS Radio in the Bay Area. You can find all of these programs and these Something Offbeat podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.